Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Good. How's everything going with you, baby?
Fabulous. The beginning of a very exciting week for us that is going to culminate in us both doing some fun talks with other people. This coming Sunday, you will be doing a boat event with Hannah Ferrier and Daisy from Below Deck, and that's going to be up in the Bay Area. So I hope everyone joins for that cruise and hangout sesh. That'll be super fun. And I'm going to be here in Hollywood in conversation with Martin Sorge, who I've been accidentally calling Martin Sorge, but it's Sorge, to discuss his new cookbook, Great Bakes at Friends and Family, a wonderful spot in Hollywood that you should come listen to. Those will both be on Sunday, the 23rd. I believe that's the date. It's this Sunday coming up.
Yes.
Tickets for the cruise, you can go to Hannah or Daisy's Instagrams. Tickets for this book talk thing, go to Now Serving LA on Instagram and you'll get all your stuff. But join us because these are just like fun extracurricular activities we're both doing. And that'll be great. And by the way, speaking of Below Deck, something I keep on forgetting to mention, and I really will mention this again on our Below Deck recap this week, is that the Fish Report now lives on an infamy on our YouTube channel. Go check it out on YouTube. There's a Fish Report playlist. So if you want to relive our feelings on many fish, or if you just never saw it in the first place, if you want to see the Fish Report, it's on our YouTube, which you should be subscribed to. Last but not least, we have Amazon Live later today. Hopefully you catch it in time where this goes up in time. If not, we're there. And we do that every Monday at 1:30 West Coast time, 4:30 East Coast time. So that's that. Reunion part two. What'd you think, Ronnie?
This show's so funny. I love Atlanta. Their reunions are always hilarious. And they go at each other so hard. And then they're laughing with each other. And then they go at each other really hard again. And they go really low. It's like, your mama's a hoe. Or whatever. And then they're all cracking up and laughing and like dancing to Cynthia's new song. Which, I mean, of course. Well, like a bunch of new Housewives music has come out this year, too, which I'm grateful for.
By the way, how did they not have that song available on streaming right away? Because I went to look it up. I was like, I'm adding this. Wasn't there. Couldn't find it. Huh. But yeah, I agree. So funny. Usually the second episode in a reunion can be a little bit like lesser. It's usually they come out of the gate strong in episode one. They end big with episode three. And the middle episode is where they sort of deal with storylines that are not as important or not as interesting or whatever. It's like the bridge.
The more boring storylines. And yeah. They did stick to tradition because this was the Pinky episode. And I was like, God, poor Pinky really got shoved in the second hour, but it was still a very entertaining hour.
It was hilarious. I thought it was funnier than the first hour, personally. I mean, I was cracking up. Also, by the way, I think Pinky has been a great addition to this season, and I think that she doesn't quite get enough credit. I think people like her. I think that at the beginning of the season, I think a lot of the attention was on Kay Michelle, and a lot of the talk was about Kay Michelle, and people were like, Pinky tries hard, yada, yada, yada. I think Pinky holds her own. I think she's very funny. I think there's, you know, she's flawed, but we need them to be flawed. And I think she's a great find. I think that she and Kay Michelle really have brought this show to life. And rumors are that Shamia is out. I don't know if that's true or not. I genuinely feel bad for Shamia. I think she is out of her element. And I feel like you can see her just not knowing what to do. Like she's just like at her wit's end. And I just feel like she needs to go reclaim her mental health somewhere else, because I feel like this show is going to destroy her.
Well, I think she's trying it, you know, she still keeps trying and it just keeps failing. And she's just so frustrated. And you can see that kind of like, oh, well, I guess I lost that one too, you know, over and over. But man, she keeps trying it with everybody and twisting things. I don't really feel bad for her. I think that she does. I mean, I always liked Shamia, but I think she does so much of this to herself, and we see her do it over and over again in these reunions. And I'm like, why do you keep running up against the same wall? Why are you punching a wall? You're never going to win this fight. And yeah, she's just so not good at it. But I mean, I don't walk away really feeling bad for her. I just feel like, okay, that was fine. Bye. Next. Yeah.
So,
but she's part of this cast, and they've given us a great reunion sound.
Yeah. We begin the episode with Cynthia joining the group, and Andy's like, America's friend, Cynthia Bailey. She comes out, she looks fantastic as usual. And Andy is like, all right, we have a question. Cynthia, you joined at just a great moment. We had a break, but here it is. Drisadora from Atlanta asks, Shamia, what was your intention in telling Kay Michelle that the women didn't want her to be friends with the rest of the group?
Yeah, and she's like, well, to be clear, it was never about the women in this group. It was about another group of women that I'm friends with that hates Kay Michelle, and I was telling her that she's lucky that I'm her friend because they don't want me to be her friend. It's totally different. I mean, I don't even know why she was upset.
And Andy's like, well, let's talk about this group. And she's like, yeah, well, when it came to that, it was brought up to Pinky. And I was like, that doesn't have anything to do with this group. And Portia actually really clocks this. She's like, it does have to do with this group. She goes, if I may insert myself, which is funny because no one has ever said that before they insert themselves on this show or any other show. I think it does have to do with this group because I feel like it sounds like a little manipulative to touch something that you have been hurt by and constantly tell you that people who have hurt you before, and it feels that way. And I think she was 100% right. It's like, Kay Michelle was really impacted by her Love and Hip Hop group, and Shamia kind of played on that, whether she intentionally or not, but like she did. And so it does matter that Kay had this experience with this other show because it's affecting her experience on this show.
And Portia's like, you know, it feels like manipulation and isolation because before Kay even really got with us, you know, she even said she was feeling guarded. And Shamia's like, well, but this wasn't before she got with everybody. And yeah, Shamia, that's her point. But, yeah. So then Kay Michelle's like, absolutely, but this is why we got into it. Because you keep saying that you just said it that day, but you were consistently saying it throughout our friendship. And you're asking me to be loyal to you and this friend group. And Shamia's like, right, exactly.
So Kay Michelle's like,
for me, yeah.
But you're asking me to be loyal and everything. So Portia's like, so Shamia's like, I asked you to be loyal and to be a real friend and be a good friend. I did say that. And Portia's,
but that's literally what I said. That's the beginning of starting an alliance.
And Kay Michelle's like, oh, I didn't try to be your friend first. You try to be mine. So I don't want you to do me any favors. And Shamia's like, but what do you mean you didn't try to be my friend? She's like, if you ever have to guess between me and someone else, you better choose them. If you ever have to guess. But I also want to say there was like a good, like large chunk of this reunion that went by so fast. And there was so much crosstalk that I fully was like, I don't know necessarily what's happening. I'm just laughing and I'm enjoying it. I just want everyone to know.
So I had to rewind a lot of times because, you know, there was so much over talking. But every time I rewound, I started laughing because I would hear what a different person was saying in the group.
Blah, blah.
Yeah. I would hear a different little line. But Shamia, the whole point is she's like, but I did ask you to be loyal. What's so wrong about that? The point is that you told her everybody in this other group hates you and I'm still loyal to you. I'm your friend and I want loyalty. But being friends with a whole group of people that hates her isn't really being her friend anyway. I mean, it's not like you can't have other friends, but like you're sitting around hanging out with this group and you're like, well, they don't want me to be friends with you and I still am. So I'm a good friend. But I would be thinking, but you're sitting around a bunch of people who are shit talking me constantly. Like, how's that supposed to make me want to be more loyal to you? I don't know. The whole argument is weird and Shamia won't even get it at all. That they're saying, yeah, but that's a manipulation tactic to say everyone else hates you but me. But she's like, but I do want loyalty. What's wrong with that? Oh, Jesus. I just also want to say this is classic Cynthia where they bring Cynthia out and then it's not Cynthia for like, what, 10 minutes or something?
Yeah,
she just exactly. Sits there and watches everybody else do their thing.
So then Andy's like, well, you said there was some off-camera event that happened. So she's like, well, Mr. Andy, this is what happened. Okay, she looked me in my face, and she looked me in the face right. I don't even have two cups of whiskey. I was just like, I was on a half of one, okay? And like, she looked me in the face, and she is standing right there. And did I remind you? She looked me in the face, and then furthermore, she looked me in the face. All right, she looked you in the face. So what happened? And when was this? It's about a week ago.
And everyone's like, whoa.
She's like, and she looked me in the face, and she was like, I'm going to bring up some things.
And I'm going to say I'm going to answer. And if I'm going to change my mind, I'm being crazy. That's what she did when she looked me in the face.
Not like an attorney does before their client. And Shimi is like, well, I'm glad I wasn't the only person there because I do need a witness here. And they're like, well, who else was there? Kelly, of course, was there. So there's a witness. There's your witness. Shimi's witness is, of course, Kelly. So Andy asked Kelly what happened. And she's like, you know, I really don't want to be in the middle of this one. And Andy's like, you are. You're quite literally in the middle. You're sitting in between them. Then you're in the middle. So just do it. Okay. We don't have all day.
Kelly, who looks like she's wearing a warped abacus on her back, is like, I just don't want to be in the middle of this. So
you're standing like, okay. In the middle of your dress. It's like a huge circle going around your head.
So Kelly is like, okay, well, we were having dinner. And Cynthia goes to talk about the reunion. And she goes, and they're like, it was a meeting. Yeah, it was a meeting to talk about the reunion, which is funny as if they don't all do it. But Kelly goes, well, you know, I hadn't seen Kay in forever because, you know, she's been touring and we had a beautiful dinner that became very heated. And I think both parties said a lot of things. And again, this has been the thing that always cracks me up on these shows is that when they have to tell a story seriously, they all try to sound like lawyers. Both parties said a lot of things. You don't have to say parties. You're not in a court.
Both parties said what transpired. Some things occurred that probably shouldn't have occurred in the transpiring of the situation on the date and time of.
It's just so funny. Like every reality star does this when they want to be taken seriously. They pull out like their like fake legal language. They learn from watching an episode of Picket Fences in 1994. It's like, well, what transpired, but from both parties, and I'd like to make an amendment to my thoughts on this, is that, you know, some things occurred that probably shouldn't have happened.
Yeah. Also, Kelly's so fine to be messy and just tell it like it is with every single situation, but then this one, she's like, well, the parties involved have decided... Where then to so K Michelle's like, well, she was looking at me dead in my face. I'm telling you, she was in my face. She looked straight in my face, Mr. Andy, and she was lying, and I was looking at her. And he's like, what about what? Lying about? Can someone tell me what happened? And K Michelle's like, well, she was just saying, you know, about the other friends. Like, I never told you that. I told you that one time, or I never said this, or my mother had on this. She didn't have on that. And you were saying my mama had on the wrong outfit that she had on. I was wrong. We're going back and forth. And kind of trying to read what the fuck this lady is talking about. I guess she didn't like the way that K. Michelle was relaying stories. And she's like, you're saying that my mom is in some club at 2 a.m. with her boobs up to her chin. And she was basically in a business suit. Like, what are you talking about? But the way that K. Michelle relays it is like, my mom had on this. She didn't have on that. And then I told you this one time. And I told you that one time.
Like, what? And I love K. Michelle's little gestures. And she's like, and fella, I just had to do this. And she like puts her like fist, she sort of moves her fist down towards her thigh. She's like, and I said,
I hate that table. And I said, you go stop lying. You're going to stop lying. She was right. She looked me right in the face. I just want to reiterate. She was looking at me right in the face. And Drew goes, so she said she hit the table. She goes, and that's what I did. I said, Kelly, I was like, we're sisters. And she, Shamia, she was like, you're going to hop on me. And I was like, I'm not going to touch you. But I hopped on my sister, my real sister. You know what I'm saying? And then I went like this again. And she was in my face. And then some food came over. And then someone had another table. And a light was on. Remember, there's a lot on the restaurant. What else was there, Mr. Andy? I can't remember now.
What the hell was the story? So basically, she got into it with Shamia. We don't really know why. Something about the mom and the friends. And Shamia
sounds like
lying. So K. Michelle started beating the table and then hopped up and came for Shamia. And Shamia's like, yeah, she was punching her fist and getting in my face and saying she would beat my ass. And she's like, oh, I was not doing this. I would not punch my hand. There she goes. She's lying again, Mr. Andy. Well, you did hop up, hit the table and get in her face though. So why are you acting like this was so innocent? K. Michelle cracks me up, man.
I mean, I love her. And Shamia, I think the issue is that it sounds like Shamia did not like the way K. Michelle characterized Shamia's mom being at the club until 2 a.m., like boobs out and whatever, and like partying. And so that sounds like Shamia was confronting K. Michelle about that. And then they had words about it. And then yes. Shamia is like showing how K. Michelle was in her face and was like, she wasn't gonna punch me, but she did like a clap and like hands behind the back and everything. And they're all like, oh, wow. Oh my God. You know? And she's like, and Shamia says, you know, she was saying, I'll fight you. I'll fight you. And Kelly's like, no, how the fuck did I get in it? Right. And Shamia's like, did you not do this to me? I mean, I'm just saying. And at this point, I'm assuming from what I could track in the story, this was K. Michelle did this to Shamia, but was it that K. Michelle did this to Kelly? I'm not even sure.
No, because she was doing it to Shamia, but then Shamia starts imitating it. So she jumps up and they're like, whoa, no, sit back down. Don't start anything, you know? So then she sits back down, but then she's like, oh, this is what she did. And she starts fighting Kelly. And Kelly's like, wait, why did I get in it? Why am I in this now?
So then, Shamia's like, you did this in front of me. And then K. Michelle goes, well, I did bit at my pointer. And I said, you're going to stop lying. You're going to stop this lying. And Shamia's like, well, anyway, let me tell you how we got into that.
No, and that's what I said. I put my finger out. Don't you, please, everyone, Mr. Andy, I'd like the court to know I put my pointer out. The pointer was out.
It was my pointer. It was not my pinky. It was not any other finger than my pointer while she was looking at me in the face.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Shamia's like, okay, anyway, well, let me just tell you how we got into it.
Nah, because that's what I said. I put my finger out. I said it.
And Shamia's like, yeah, she got really mad.
Yeah, I did, because you were looking at my face and you were lying.
She's like, because every time she said something, and Angela's like, well, people get mad that you're lying. That's why, because you keep lying.
And then we have Shamia going, I'm not talking to you. And she's like, I don't care. You're lying. Shamia goes, I would like to speak. We started talking about things that I had watched on the episode. So, you know, I saw where K. Michelle said that we came at 2 a.m. To the club, and it pissed me off because I know how my mom's being painted to look, right? And K. Michelle's like, but your mama literally was there. And Shamia's like,
one second, let me finish. I said, K, look at this video. This is 11:50 something. We weren't coming at 2 a.m. And she said, okay, well, fine. So I got her on time.
Well, you know what? It was my pointer finger that I was pointing at you. Don't you dare lie about my finger.
She goes, either way, my mama don't be dancing no hookah lounge in the middle of Atlanta in her white suit talking about hallelujah, God, Portia, Jezebel. I mean, it is a funny distinction, like Shamia being like, how could you make it sound like my dear, sweet, daycare-having mother was out at the club until 2 a.m? She was there almost till midnight. It's like, that still sounds kind of crazy, if you ask me.
Okay, Michelle's like, yeah, but your mom was dancing in a hookah lounge calling Portia Jezebel, and that was the point. So I died with this. I love calling Portia Jezebel, and everyone's like, whoa. And so Portia goes, calling who a Jezebel? And K. Michelle's like, well, I really do have you saying it. I do. Shoot me up. I do. And Shamia's like, come on, I'm getting upset now. And Andy's like, oh, who was she calling a Jezebel? Oh, God, here we go.
It's like, your mama's calling me a Jezebel. Your mama's a Jezebel.
She's like, my mama did not say that. You believe that.
You keep talking about me when you're with her.
You instantly believe that.
Yeah, because Kay's telling me.
And she's like, my mama never called you a Jezebel. And then Kim and Michelle's like,
yes, she did. She said, like her mama. She's a Jezebel like her mama. That's a double Jezebel.
Everyone's gonna
man, don't piss K. Michelle off. She and Shamia were friends the whole season, and now she is just throwing her under the bus. I was dying.
Yeah, she said just like her mama. And Shamia's like, oh, and you believe that? And K. Michelle's like, oh, you're not going to make me look crazy when I've had your back.
How are you supposed to be relied on as having anyone's back? Okay, Michelle.
Well, she told me many things that you've said about with your mother.
And so Shamia goes, well, she got mad and she said, you're not going to make me look crazy like the rest of these bitches make me look crazy. I'm like, hey, I'm not going to do that to you. She's like,
yeah, well, because you're lying. Your mother FaceTimed your father in that club. And they said, we got two Jezebels we got to point out.
And Shamia's like, you're making stuff up. She's like, no, I am not.
Okay, then how do I know about the pipe?
And everyone's like, what? The pipe? What does that mean?
Yeah, because listen to this. Your mother called her father to fix a pipe in the house.
Dun, dun. So it was like an old school porn scene.
I know.
How do you think I know about the Cheerios? You guys just bought some Cheerios last time you went to the supermarket. How do you think I knew about that? Think about that.
I was for once dying at the thought of Miss Diane being like, show me his daddy. I've got a pipe that needs to be fixed in my house.
Finally,
yes, I love some old school porn. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Andy's like, let's leave the moms out of it. How about that? And she's like, but I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what she's talking about.
Oh, her mother's a goddamn liar.
Your mama's a goddamn liar. And Angela goes, my discernment was right.
You keep my motherfucking name, mother's name out of your mouth and mine. It's like, you keep my mom and my name out of your motherfucking. Here we go, Sumia with her you are arguments. Right, and Andy's like, all right. Okay, so the two of you had dinner. What did you eat? I love dinner.
It was a bad dinner. Was the waiter hot? Tell me everything. And Kim Michelle's like, well, my thing is that I've always open to try again and start. But like, I've had your back the whole season. And she goes, and I've had yours.
And I'm going to continue to be around Shamia, but like get to know her. But do I trust her? She's shown me that she can't be trusted. And I'm not doing that.
Shamia's like, well, I don't want to be close to somebody that's going to try to fight me when I don't agree with them.
Well, Kelly's like, whoa, guys, I hate to see you going back and forth. I think both parties could come to a resolution through arbitration.
I'd like to make a motion to dismiss this tension, please. So then basically Kelly's like, I just don't think you should allow the noise from the other sofa to put you in the relationship that you have already to pour into the relationship. And so then, of course, the other sofa's like, oh, wow, Oz are talking about us. So it's so funny that she accuses the other sofa of noise, but then she actively creates it. So Angela's like, the noise that's coming from next to you.
Stop with the bully stuff. What? We don't even have anything to do with it. There's no accountability if I've ever seen it.
You're sitting next to the noise.
And Kelly's like, Angela, I'm so sick of you.
So, okay, Kelly, you should just speak to Kay and Shamia and leave everybody out of it, okay?
Well, my decision and us getting into it, there was no one else there but us. So they had nothing to do with it. It had nothing to do with them. It had to do with this. She was looking me straight in my face. And I had a finger up. It was my pointer finger.
Okay, in conclusion, face, pointer, that's it, really.
So Andy says, he's like, all right.
Angela is just on to going for Kelly. She's coming for Kelly, just doing Angela things. Like, oh, really? What, you're a fraud? Oh, really? You're going to rebuild your life now? What, do you live on the street? Are you homeless, baby? Are you homeless?
It's like, not at all, baby.
Are you homeless? You're frying chicken out of Shamia's house. Does that make you homeless?
I'm not homeless at all. Is that all that you've got about Shamia's house? You're like, that's a lot. You have to admit that frying the chicken in Shamia's house is a pretty good one. It's like, stop it. No, you're about to lose your restaurant, the one Drew didn't visit.
And she's like, who told you that? She's like, the courts, baby. Oh, really? Well, do you even know how to open a business? Do you have a business? She's like, multiple. It's like, what business? Multiple. Well, nobody on that sofa has a brick and mortar. So how about that? I just won the brick and mortar fight.
Oh, I'd like to say something about brick and mortar, please. Oh. This does make me pine for Ladies of London and how, like, this entire fight and Ladies of London will be like, oh, ugh, disgusting. Why would we have a business?
Yeah, exactly. They're like, no one else here works. And he's like, why would we? Disgusting. Who brags about having to work?
What am I, a yeoman? So Kelly is like, her big thing is that no one has a brick and mortar. So Phaedra's like, oh, I know. She goes, okay, I know you're lying, ho. So Portia's like, you're making millions online, girl. Bye. Like, stop complaining about stop trying to use brick and mortar. And Cynthia goes, the Bailey wine cellar. Hello?
I didn't know that place was still around.
Me neither. Bailey Wine Cellar. You'll have to go there next time when we go to Atlanta. So they're having a brick-and-mortar fight. So
Pedro's saying, well, I have several careers. I'll put my bank account up against anybody. And Pinky's like, my baby doesn't like all this noise. Oh, don't worry. It's your turn soon, Pinky. So Drew's like, just make sure you pay your bills. And Kelly goes, sell your wigs. They're like, oh, well, actually, that's not really a diss because that's a successful business. So,
yeah. So now it's time to finally say hello to Cynthia now that she's actually come out. So
in 20 minutes into it.
I know. It's like, how's the prince? I hear, you know, you actually sang the song of the midseason trailer. Let's play it. So they play this like EDM song. And Andy just like sits back in his chair and starts fist pumping. He's like,
yeah, so good.
It was very a clip of Andy dancing at a Grateful Dead concert in a tie-dyed shirt. It was so funny. And they all cheer and start dancing around to it and stuff. And it's The Peach Life. The song is The Peach Life. And it ends with her, or the beat comes when she goes, now what else is going on?
It's good. I like it personally. Andy really loses his mind. Like he like definitely took some Molly right before the segment. So then Andy is like, all right, well, that was fun. Pinky, as soon as you appeared on our screens, you gave us full transparency and left no word unsaid, blah, blah, blah. Pinky segment starts now. So we see her life. And he asks where things stand with bankruptcy. And she says, you know, it's embarrassing at first. And I'm sure everyone can agree. And I'm almost at the finish line. And it's like a rebirth. And if I had to do it again, I would. Because you know what? U.S. bankruptcy code is a tool. And I'm sure that there are some ladies that will probably do it in the future as well. And Phaedra does not like this one bit. And she starts bringing up a point that like, I think you're being pretty rosy about this because there were a lot of African-American investors who lost money on you.
She said, you had investors that gave you $25 million. And she's like, well, I had white investors too. Thank you very much. I screwed everybody over equally. Thank you, though. Thank you, Phaedra. And she's like, but there were plenty of African-American investors. And she's like, okay, well, more white than black. So now. So there. And Phaedra's like, well, you're taking this pretty lightly and calling it a tool. Well, it is a tool. And I'm going to tell you why it's a tool, because people really don't even know the story what happened, because I'm a professional and I protected a lot of people and it's none of your business. And so Pink is trying to sell this like, I am a hero. All these people are getting screwed over in their money and it's because I am a business hero. And I will now be teaching business lessons. And they're like, what? So what are you talking about? She doesn't say she's going to teach business lessons, but she's giving herself like a very inspirational way of regaling us with this story.
I actually was not that anti-Pinky on this situation. I understand what Phaedra was saying, which is like, look, there are people out here who are trying to build generational wealth. It's an issue in our country. You know, disparity, especially, you know, white people, black people, you know, there are systems in place that make it hard to build generational wealth. You can't take that lightly. And when people invest in you, you have to like take that very seriously and you have to treat that money very carefully. So I understand Phaedra's point. I also think that like Pinky was just trying to be like, just trying to put a positive spin on like, yeah, it sucked, but actually like bankruptcy gave me a path to actually just start like rather than being bogged down and just like destroyed by it, bankruptcy code allowed me to like get myself back on my feet, yada, yada, yada. And I kind of feel like they both were right, but I don't know. I just sort of saw it as Pinky trying to give, what'd you say?
I don't see Pinky as being, I mean, Pinky, the lawsuits are like spending money that you're taking for your business on your personal lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then she's saying, well, I don't even get a salary from this business. So it's like, well, then who is paying for your lifestyle? Because some, you know, you've got a pretty good life. So there's something really fishy. And then Pinky's trying to word this like she's a huge hero.
Vegan
and
fishy.
Phaedra's, she's like, this could happen to you. And Phaedra's like, well, not really, because I'm self-funded. And she's like, well, let me teach you about business. I was like, Pinky, you're not in the place right now to be saying that. And
yeah, you definitely are not.
Yeah, Phaedra's like, what do you you can't teach me business. I've been burying people 1 year and playing flute the next year, and I'm a lawyer sometimes. How dare you?
She's like, okay, well then go win some cases then if you're very successful. How about that? She goes, well, what cases did I lose? She goes, call Bobby Brown. She's like, okay, well, call Bobby Brown. If I was a bad attorney, baby, I was with Bobby Brown for 8 years, and I think he could have replaced me. And like, I feel like this is the first time in a while we've really seen Phaedra kind of activated, probably since The Traitors. And so it was really nice to see Phaedra, you know, Phaedra being the Phaedra we know that's in there, who has like a quick tongue and is going to read someone for filth. But Pinky also is good at that. And so I really enjoyed this back and forth between the two of them.
I think that Pinky's just not good at it. I mean, I hate to disagree with you on so much.
You can disagree.
Segment.
I don't care.
Pinky, I think, was getting so, she just can't take it. And she's trying. Like, she's putting in the work as far as arguing back and standing up for herself, but she's so ruffled. And then Phaedra's just so calm. She's like, call Bobby Brown, you know? And Pinky's like, well, if you knew anything about the restaurant business, you know, they don't last past 3 years. And she's like, what is the profit margin for radioactive burgers? She's like, well, then it'll last past 3 years. So for me to be able to do what I did in a matter of 8 years and then open up 14 locations and positively make money, you know, I made, you know, $20,000 to $30,000 a year. And that's very impressive. So nobody knows my, yeah, but there are like so many closures. And look, I guess somebody wants to stand up for their business and stuff. But being like, teach me business, and I've had 14 businesses. It's just not the argument right now, you know, maybe after your comeback story, if you have a slutty vegan that like it goes crazy again and it does really well or something and you come back, then you can come back in with this. But right now it's just.
Yeah, I think that Pinky does make a good point later on. And by the way, I think I don't know about the lawsuits that really are plaguing Pinky, like, I don't know if this is a situation where she like took people's money and then like really kind of abused that. So that's why to me, I'm like, I can't speak to that. I just think that like, you know, I think she was just trying to put on a positive spin about this experience. I thought it was like, I didn't think it was like such a big crime to try to put a positive spin on it, to just like be moving forward and like, no, I'm positive. I'm going to get my stuff back on the ground. But what I'd like about Pinky is that she may not read as well as Phaedra, but she's very quick with her responses in a way that I never could be. And I'm always just so in awe of people who put on the spot aren't like, oh, I'm going to, which is what I would do. And Pinky just throw stuff right back. And the two of them go right back and forth, each other back and forth. And Phaedra is like, yeah, don't you like, you're being braggadocious and you need to pay your damn bills. And she's like, I'm not going to brag. I'm going to uplift. And Andy, you're the only person I haven't given an idea yet. And so Phaedra's like, and I'm sure Andy doesn't need another idea. She's like, and I'm going to come to you with an idea. Okay. And he's like, well, you said bankruptcy is a tool. And I think it could be perceived that you're being flip about bankruptcy or using it as a crutch. And she's like, well, what do you want me to do? I mean, people are going to judge me no matter what. They're going to have an opinion. And guess who I stand to represent? All the people who have ever lost anything. They can look at me and say, you know what? If Pinky did it, I'm going to do it.
Everybody file bankruptcy. If she did it, I'm going to do it. Well, the bankruptcy part. But so Angela's like, well, it does come off as kind of hypocritical. And I think that that's a good point that they're all making is like the issue is that you come in here bragging about, well, I spend $80,000 in a minute or whatever while all this stuff is going on. So Pinky's like, well, it can come across exactly however you want. It doesn't matter. And she's like, well, I want to piggyback on what Phaedra said as far as people were hurt. And she goes, people were hurt about what? It's like, well, if people invested in your business and like if people invested in my business and I lose the money, then I lost their money. And she goes, Red Lobster filed for bankruptcy. Bed Bath & Beyond filed for bankruptcy. Heinz filed for bankruptcy. Every day. It doesn't make it any different.
Sonia Morgan filed for bankruptcy with her movie deal, yeah. Right? I did like her elevating herself to Red Lobster and Bed Bath & Beyond. Heinz? I did not know that Heinz filed for bankruptcy. That's surprising to me. Red Lobster, okay, I get it. Bed Bath & Beyond, I get it. Like, Bed Bath & Beyond killed by, you know, online e-tailing. Red Lobster, I don't know why. Red Lobster killed by a VC, but Heinz Ketchup?
You know, but they didn't get away easily either. I mean, they're still beat upside the head about it every day. You know, it's the only way to get it out, get the ketchup out of there. So Angela's like, well, you don't see them telling people they can buy people's foreclosed house. And that's the point, you know. But hypocrisy is kind of a housewife's thing.
Heinz Ketchup did not file for bankruptcy. It was a rival to Heinz Ketchup that filed for bankruptcy. So there you go, everyone. How about that?
Oh, damn.
See?
So Portia's like, listen, Pinky, I think you're 100% correct. And the only part that might be missing here is you saying, I really hate that I lost people's money. You know, like it doesn't sound good for something for you to be, you know, it doesn't, it's part of it. You should just admit to that and say that.
Mm-hmm. And Pinky's like, well, I think you have a misconception because of what you see on social media, because every single store that I opened cost almost $900,000. And everything that I did, that I said that I was going to do with my money, I did. And that wasn't the problem. My problem is that I had the wrong people running my company. And we're going to have a history lesson, because when white people file for bankruptcy, you know what happens? High five. Great job. Go start another business. But when a black person does it, you're a problem and you're a failure. And Portia's like, no, we're not saying that. And she's like, and they're like, no, it's not true. It's not true. And they're just like saying, look, just like acknowledge that you've lost people's money. And so Kay Michelle's like, well, it might look like hard on line, but I've been up with her through the night and she has cried and been upset about it and how it's going on. She was in my face crying. In my face. And how she is presented to her social media, you know, she doesn't want them to see her cry. She's not going to do that. But I know for a fact, I've sat her with this woman and she has been in tears about this.
I want to correct myself before I even get in trouble about these lawsuits, because I'm looking it up as we're talking about this and I can't find. Okay, let me see. Public records focus on corporate and personal debt restructuring rather than criminal or civil allegations of misusing disaster loans for personal use. So I don't know that she was using it for personal use. This is the one that's coming up is a $4 million in debt, such as a 1.2 COVID-19 economic injury disaster loan and stuff like that. Most of it is business relief loans, unpaid rent and state taxes. And then creditors and landlords filed separate lawsuits for unpaid commercial rent and late fees. And then she has some employee tip, like employees were accusing them of stealing tips and stuff like that. So just to correct it, I won't read all of them sitting here all day, but So K. Michelle says that, and Pink is like, thank you for standing up for me. And she's like, and she's doing whatever she can in order to reverse it. And Kelly's like, well, nobody wants to highlight their failures, you know, but you know, what you did with bankruptcy, at least you took that failure and took it into a lesson for multiple entrepreneurs. And, you know, people look at bankruptcy as frowned upon, but you're changing it. You know, I mean, Angela was just filing for bankruptcy last season. She's like, I never did it.
Yeah, suddenly Angela's like, no, I would never do something as shameful as that. I mean, I do think that they are stigmatizing bankruptcy, like, I think a little bit more than I think seems necessary. I don't know. I think, there's different shades of it, right? Like, I think there are some people who take people's money and then plunder it and then the company goes bankrupt and they walk away, they're fine. And then other people are left being like, where's my money? Like, I think that happens all the time. And it's like really shitty when that happens. I think there's also cases where people are just like entrepreneurs. They have a small business. They're trying to make it work and it doesn't, it falls apart and they lose all their money and they have to file for bankruptcy. And it's not as
my family filed bankruptcy. It's something that happens. I'm personally not shaming bankruptcy. I think that their point is you are coming on here and you're shading other people and fighting with other. It's like, it's hypocrisy on her end, you know, that like when it's her, it's like, oh, you know, there's bankruptcy, but then she has all these braggy moments about money. And then she's,
yeah,
I don't know. I think they're calling more the hypocrisy rather than shaming the bankruptcy, because this is Real Housewives. It's not the first and it's not the last who's going to file bankruptcy. It's kind of like when Erica went through when Tom was going through all of his legal issues, and Erica's still going through hers. Erica has years of being such a snot about money and being like, oh, I'm so rich, that when it turned out to be kind of a house of cards, you know, people are going to give her more shit about it.
Yeah. So Phaedra is like, how does your husband have money and your kid's dentist bill is on your bankruptcy? She goes, well, I filed for bankruptcy. Should I be ashamed about it? And like, no. And Angela's like, but you're saying to me that you could buy my foreclosed houses. And this is the hypocrisy that you're talking about. And Piggy goes, and well, you called me Papa Smurf. And then you said I was Mr. Clean. You said I had a wife in the basement. And Angela's like, after all this stuff. And Cynthia's like, okay, hello, I am America's friend. I'm going to clear this up. I have been involved in the restaurant industry through my ex, right? My ex. You know who I'm talking about. He has a new girlfriend now. Please don't look it up. So I know how difficult it is, and I understand all these things.
But another one we shouldn't be looking to as, well, I know the restaurant business because of Peter.
Right. By one.
Yikes.
Peter's brew.
Yeah.
So
also Pinky's saying like, well, you called me Papa Smurf and Mr. Clean. Well, at the beginning of the episode, when Andy was like, what were your favorite parts of the season? She's like, that fight with Angela where she called me Papa Smurf and Mr. Clean. And now she's like, this is the most hurtful thing.
So see, this like, I guess we're just confused. Do you have money or do you not have money? And she's like, well, I wouldn't have been cast on this show if I didn't have money. And then Andy's like, I mean, we don't check bank accounts and everything. And she's like, well, just like people are going to pick us apart with everything we say without question, Pinky. And Pinky's like, well, I've been getting picked apart way before the Housewives. Like, okay, well, I'm just saying.
That's why you were cast. It's not because you were rich. It's because they smelled blood in the water. That's what Housewives producers do. They're like, get someone who thinks they're on top, who's about to fall so we can make money off of their downfall, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, I was cast because of my money. No, you were cast because they Googled you.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So, Pinky, Meatgate was a big topic of discussion. How do you feel? No, it was Kelly who said that you eat meat. She's like, well, Kelly, do you have something to tell me? And Kelly's like, you know what? So I used to see you at Davio's all the time, which is a steakhouse, but I did not realize that until actually going out to lunch with Pinky that she has her own personalized menu at Davio's that has nothing to do with meat. So Pinky, I love you, and I apologize for starting the rumor that you ate meat because you went to a steakhouse and have a private menu that's vegan.
Yeah. I'm sorry that I accused you of that when you were just supporting a place that yeah. serves a ton of meat.
And then Shamia apologizes to Phaedra because Shamia said that Pinky was eating meat at a Jamaican restaurant when she was merely serving it.
Oh my gosh. So Phaedra's like, but the thing is, Pinky has never apologized to me. And I knew Pinky. We've done a business together. I mean, you have my number, but, you know, you dragged me. I was like, uh-oh, not again. You prayed for my wigs. You said I eat cadavers. You never apologize. And she's like, and I'm not going to. And first of all, something that's not discussed, Andy, is she called the higher ups on me. And Phaedra's like, but tell him why. She goes, oh, I will. She said I made a comment about having to protect myself when it related to a significant device, and I won't say it on the show. What did this mean? That she said I have a gun or something? Is this another
Kenya and Brit Edie yeah. moment? It sounded almost like that. Phaedra goes, well, no one should say it because you did make the comment. And Pinky's like, no, I did not make the comment. I didn't. And like, here's the problem. You literally just said I could have picked up the phone and called you right then and there. So, okay, I'm a grown ass woman. And Phaedra goes, well, first of all, I kept saying, shut up, Pinky, be quiet. She goes, no, you did not. You did not say that. No, you did not because you were too busy being a mute at the table because you were scared to talk.
I don't know what they're talking about.
All I know is that
I have no idea.
Pinky is annoyed that Phaedra called higher-ups about her, complained about her, and Phaedra saying, yeah, I complained because you sort of threatened some sort of situation, and Pinky saying, well, why didn't you? You could have just called me, and Phaedra's like, but I wasn't going to because of that, and I don't know. They it's hard to track this one because they're talking about something vaguely that happens off camera.
Yeah, so we don't know what they mean. And Andy's like, so she feels like you narked on her and thought she was a threat. Do you understand that, Phaedra? And she's like, well, but she does she understand where I'm coming from? And if I wanted to give the higher ups a call, I would have called the higher ups. Like, I have their numbers. So I don't know if she just told a producer, if that's what Pinky means. Because when you say the higher ups, it sounds like the network, right? But
yeah.
Phaedra probably just told her producer, like, hey, she just said she has a gun. I mean, I don't know what the fuck.
It sort of sounds like that. And Andy ultimately is like, look, I've known her for a long time. If she had a problem, we would hear from her. We didn't hear from her. So it's probably not as big as you think. That's basically what he says. Yeah. And then Pinky's like, just for the record, everyone, I am no threat to anyone in this room. I got a pancake ass, just like you said, and I wouldn't hurt a fly.
I mean, what does that mean even? I can't hurt anybody because I have a flat ass. I don't get it. So Pinky is like, but we're fine now. I mean, she gave me a bath and she put a wand over me and I went to her house and she made some nice vegan food. So, you know, I'm mature and I can move past things.
And then they're like, yeah, everything's fine. She's like, yeah, I got no problem. Yeah, I got no problem. Like, okay, great. So then Andy asks why Derek didn't help out with the bankruptcy. And she's like, you know, he takes pride in his reputation. He just didn't want me to file for bankruptcy. But she didn't want him to give the money because the creditor is about credit. It's a creditor paperwork issue, basically. So then Andy's
from her old company and they were coming after her personally. So she doesn't want her husband paying for a company that's already dissolved.
Yeah. Maybe she just doesn't want meat money in the vegan bloodline there. Not bloodline.
Well, also that comes into losing personal money. Like if your husband's giving money, if you're losing everybody else's money, that's fine. But it's like, why am I going to give up my own $5 million basically? That's my husband's. No, we'll take care of it through bankruptcy court, which is probably the smartest way to do it, by the way. So he asks her about her series, which is called Edgewood, and she tells us there's no release date, but they got picked up by a pretty big network. So there will be a Pinky Cole TV show coming out.
Who knows? Maybe we'll eat our words. So then Andy is like, all right, Justine from Bateman says, Drew, if you only planned on supporting Pinky, why even leave your house to attend the casting call? And Drew's like, oh, well, because I told Pinky I would come and I did that leap to show her that even though, you know, it wasn't appreciated, I just wanted to be there as an actress. And Pinky's like, well, then why would you call my casting call a cattle call? It's like, Pinky.
It was a cattle call.
It was a cattle call. There was like a line on the block.
When you put an ad in the paper and everybody comes to it. A casting call is when agents, you know, like you're specifically invited, you know, people are set up through agents and stuff. So I think it was a cattle call, right? Not to say that she put it in the newspaper, but I think that everybody could come to this audition, right? But either way, cattle call is not really a huge slam. That's it.
It's not. I think Pinky was trying to like be able to get some sort of like high ground here. And Angela's like, I mean, you called me cattle walking across the line. And then we see that Pinky did say that. That's way worse is to call Angela cattle versus calling this audition a cattle call.
Yeah. So Pinky's like, well, she was saying it like a dig. Like, I don't do indie projects. I mean, okay, it was very last minute, but still. And Portia's like, but couldn't your team, like, was there enough time to just email her team and do it the proper way? And she's like, well, it wasn't time. It wasn't about time. It just passed my mind. Okay, so you're running an unprofessional audition for a TV show and asked Drew to come. And then when Drew wouldn't really do it because she's in the union and all this or that, you're going to get upset. Pinky just doesn't make any sense to me. I just don't get. And to make it worse, you're up against Drew in this one, and Drew's DeLulu Drew.
Yeah.
You should have this one easily, you know?
So it looks like in this case, it looks like Pinky is the one who truly dropped the ball here. And so now Pinky, like, she changes her tune. She's like, look, one thing you got to know about me is I am not mad that you did not audition. She goes, but I showed up for you and that should be appreciated. And he's like, I don't care about this anymore. We're moving on. All right, Pinky, you were in a relationship with a woman. You made a minor reference to this in one episode very briefly. So let's take some time in the reunion to talk about it because it has to do with lesbianism and sex. So Pinky is like, well, you know, Andy, I munch on some carpet a time or two in my time, you know? And everyone laughs. And Pinky is like, but I will say this, being a lesbian relationship is fun for like the first 3 weeks. And then it gets crazy. They get real clingy, you know? And then, of course, Andy looks at Portia. He's like, oh, yeah, they bring the U-Haul, right, Portia, right? She's like, yeah, I'm clingy number one.
So they talk about that and then joke about, you know, make some lesbian Portia jokes. And then we go to break time and Drew goes to Portia's dressing room and Portia's like, seeing how Kelly's been going in all her damn interviews, like, I have daughters and she's talking about me and this married man. What about my daughters? They have to see it. And she's like, what about my daughter? You know?
So
Portia, guess what, guys? Portia is going to do something crazy for Housewives. She's going to take a lie detector test. Dun, dun, dun. Portia, come on now.
No, it's
so silly. I was cracking up, but didn't Pinky's already done that this season?
Well, not only that, not only is she's not going to take a lie detector test. She actually took one last night, and she is going to read the results during their reunion. So for anyone who accuses Portia of self-producing too much, you're absolutely right.
Here it is. Here we see a flashback to Portia being strapped to a chair and a man being like, did you get a text from a man that said, I just slept with Kelly?
I did.
Was he on an airplane?
He was.
Are you upset they don't serve peanuts because some people have allergies?
Yes, it's unfair. I love peanuts.
Please, please keep your answers to one or two words.
So now we're back on the set. What do planes, pastors, hawks, falcons, and Angela's neighbor George all have in common? They all got caught in a historic storm this season because according to the streets, it's raining married men in Atlanta. So a montage of all the accusations of people sleeping with married men. Most of those accusations just coming from Angela, let's be honest.
Yeah, they're all from Angela. So now the question is George. How does Shamia know George? And so Shamia says, well, I do team building and bonding events with my best friend Carla, who's a therapist. And we just do empowerment type deals and games with his employees. What?
No, you know. Team buildings. I have a friend who does this stuff. They like,
but it's
have
just like corporate. The things you hear about. It's like Shamia does so many things. She does so many. Like, I never saw this one coming.
Yeah, it is surprising. So Portia and Phaedra, were you surprised Angela told George's wife Ashley that she never brought up sex, yet she asked Shamia if she effed George? By the way, anytime we get into the George and Ashley thing, I'd never follow it. I know the outline of it. I know the bones of it, which is that Angela says that Ashley told her that like Shamia and George something or other. But whenever they actually talk it back out, it winds up being this thing of like, she told me that she told you that you told her that George told her that she told me that you guys slept together. I'm always like, I can't.
And Angela gets big on semantics in every one of these fights. It cracks me up because she's like, I didn't say you F George. No, but it's the same thing because she said, are you fucking George? And she's like, well, I brought up sex, but I did not say Ashley said that you slept with George. And she's like, yeah, but you said, are you fucking George? Yeah, but you told Ashley that I said that she said it. No, but what you said was that Ashley, George's wife, Ashley, is actually mad at you and she's uncomfortable with you and she doesn't want to bring it up because you're fucking George. I never said that. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. And then we see the footage of it with Shamia on the phone with George at the table. And then we come back to present and we see, for the record, Angela asked in the footage, did you fuck George? Or she said, are you fucking George or what? Yeah. Did you fuck George? So I guess in Angela's mind, she was saying, did you fuck George? Not are you fucking George? And it wasn't from Angela. Oh my gosh.
So now Shamia's like, even if you did say that, you still asked me, was I fucking George? She's like, oh, make it up, Shamia.
Well, you did ask if she was fucking him. It's like, well, she did, but she didn't say if it was Ashley. Okay, got it. Drew, why did you say Angela's been vindicated after George said he jokingly made the comment that Shamia looked so good he had to pay for her? Drew goes, well, I mean, because that
exactly, that's what it was, exactly to a T, what Angela said. And now it's like, no, Angela said, if I was fucking George, like, no, but so there were a lot of things that were twisted. Were you fucking George? No, I said that Ashley said that she was fucking George. But what about what Angela's? No, I said that you said that Ashley said that she was fucking George, but just George is her husband. And I said, were you fucking George too? Did you fuck George or were you fucking George? And did you say
okay,
you
said okay, that? Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. It sounds like George and his wife have both confirmed that there's nothing to this.
Okay, but don't call me a liar.
But you are a fucking liar.
Well, I don't have to believe it. I don't have to believe it though, Shamia. She's like, but you are a liar, and that's the second thing you've done. She's like, well, I don't have to believe it just because you say I'm a liar. I don't have to believe that I'm a liar.
She's like, motor mouth, mighty mouse, hush. Because Kelly's trying to jump in, and Kelly goes, but you don't like when somebody says that your husband's cheating on you. She's like, well, you told me I was making it up. Well, why would you do that? She's like, you've been lying on my husband since day one. But why would you do that, girl? I don't give a damn about your husband. Well, when you get a husband, you'll understand.
Oh my gosh. And then Kelly goes, well, I had a husband for 11 years and I didn't need to get pregnant to have one. It's like, oh, geez.
Oh, God.
Play with someone else, not me. My husband puts me in rooms, bitch. Your husband puts you in courtrooms. We're not the same. So Kelly is going at it. She's like going at it, whatever. It's like, I don't give a damn about your husband. She's like, not the side, baby, motor mouth, loud, surrounded, a sound ass, Kelly. I don't know. It's just like words.
Not the side, baby, motor mouth, loud, surround, sound ass, Kelly. Can't. I had to rewind that.
Surround sound. I heard surround. When she said I heard surround sound, ask Kelly. I just like, I don't even get it. I just like the idea.
Because Kelly is still, even right now, when she gets upset and she's like, but what about my husband? She just gets that like loud siren, that siren thing that she does
right
when she's going off on somebody. So she called her surround sound. And Kelly said, well, you're the one who said that you don't give a fuck if he was fucking the lady on the ice cream truck. And so we see a little funny clip of Angela being like, I don't believe anything that these ladies are saying. They could tell me the man is fucking the candy seller and I wouldn't believe it. So it's twisting.
Did you
Kelly and Angela both kind of do this where they just make stuff up and then just, you know, give it to each other over and over again, and it becomes kind of nonsensical. There can't be a Kelly and an Angela. There has to be one person kind of making stuff up.
Yeah.
Not two, because my head is spinning.
I choose Angela. So yes. Andy's like, did you accuse Shamia of sleeping with George because Shamia told Amarish that she's nicer than you? And Angela's like, no, from day one, the only person in this friend group that I tried to build a relationship with coming into this group was Shamia. And Shamia was married and she's a tourist in Nassau. We hung out. And we see that they were really friends last season. And Angela says, I got her birthday gifts. Everything is good. But then we were at Pinky's event and Pinky and Kay and I are talking to Shamia and Shamia's like, yeah, you're messy. And so then we see this clip that's quite frankly pretty benign. And Shamia's like, well, she basically sort of says that Angela's kind of messy. And that's like World War III for Angela.
It's such tiny drama compared to everything they're slinging at each other today.
Yes.
It seems silly. So then Angela says, well, I took that argument into Dallas. If I thought Shamia was talking about something, if anybody was talking about anybody to Kay, it was Shamia because of my experience with Shamia. I knew that Shamia does shit like this. And so Shamia's like, well, that made her mad to the point where now I'm conspiring with Kay against them.
Well, and she's like, no, I didn't say that. And I'm also sleeping with the Falcons and Hawks players. I'm also fucking George. Like, I just feel like a messy comment wouldn't set me off to that, like, to that extent. And he's like, well, is there any coming back for you two? It's like, no, because it turns out that Shamia served Angela a cease and desist.
So she says, I feel like I just got served with a cease and desist because she wants me to talk, but she doesn't want me to talk. And Shamia is like, well, let me tell you what it says on that.
In the theoretical cease and desist. So Angela is like, I don't know if she's a victim or a bully. I don't know who she is. She's, well, I'm definitely not a victim, so I choose bully. So and like, okay, why did you send her a cease and desist? And I still can't tell, was it a real one or is this just a metaphor? And Shmi goes, well,
it was a real one.
She goes, in the cease and desist, it says, state all parties that have either told you that, named the person, the players that I've slept with, or cease and desist. And Angela's like, well, Shamia, the person who told me that is a credible source. And for you to be outside talking about my husband and Dominique Wilkins is outside and all this. And she's like, but you're a married woman. And for you to say that is so nasty, Angela.
And she's like, well, you're a married woman when you said my husband was on his back. And she's like, well, you, oh my gosh. So here, now it's the husband fights. Okay. So Angela's like, but you said my husband doesn't come home, baby. It's like, well, your husband said that Portia, he said that at Portia's house. He did say that.
Like, joking. She's like,
joking. Yeah, it's like, well, you keep talking about my vagina. Well, so, and he's like, okay, it sounds like vagina and husband's not coming home jokes have really just been jokes, and both sides are taking them wrong. And Shmi is like, well, you have more smoke for me than the people that tried to fuck your husband.
Tried to fuck. So Portia tried to fuck Charles. She's like, no, that's what you said. And Portia's like, well, since you want to bring me the fuck back into it, here I am. Okay. This is why Angela is holding on to this, because there is zero accountability outside of me in that pool event. I said the nasty thing. And she basically is like, I said what I said about Charles. I shouldn't have said it. And I apologize. And I was accountable. But Shamia, you're never accountable. And both of you guys, and Kelly too.
Yeah. So, you know, she's like, and then Kelly is screaming that Charles had a baby, a secret baby on Angela. And Shamia was saying that Charles has a woman in New York and he's been in the streets. And she's like, and Shamia goes, bitch, what? And she's like, hold on. I was the only one who kept saying, I don't even know this guy. I mean, all I've known is that he's a legend.
And Shamia's like, that's not what you said. That's not what you said. Let me finish. You said now more.
We're going all the way back to the pool. I mean, this is season one in the pool where Portia joked about it. This was just a joke.
Yeah.
So Shamia, it's like stuff that Shamia was taking, well, that they were taking and twisting, I guess I should say, from that season and still coming into this one. Like, come on. So Portia's like, you're a damn liar. And you said you knew him and you brought up that he had women everywhere. And she's like, let me talk, but you're lying.
Yeah, it goes back and forth for quite a bit. Accusations of throwing each other under the bus, yada, yada, yada. So Andy is like, stop, stop. Okay, it might be helpful, given that this is still bothering Angela, if you would apologize, even if it's you apologizing again. So Shamia goes, well, I apologize for laughing by the pool, for saying I didn't know you, for I guess whatever I said that made you upset, which is like, I guess the Shamia thing. Whatever I said, I apologize for. So Angela's like,
if I misspoke and if I'm not remembering it right, I'm sorry if I did anything that I did not ever say or did, but have no idea what you're talking about. But if you're upset, I'm sorry, I guess.
So Andy's like, do you take that? Angela's like, I do. I take her apology. So Andy's like, okay. Shamia said she almost lost her job with the NBA because of the accusations. Angela, do you want to apologize for making the accusations? And Angela's like, well, if it's not true, well, but I will stand by the source that I heard from it. You want to just say sorry?
So she pulls a Shamia sorry and says, I apologize if I offended her. I don't want her to lose a job that she doesn't need.
And then Angela's like, she's gonna tell you that she doesn't need it, and I sincerely apologize if I got in the way of you and your job, but please don't talk about my husband because I'm coming back.
Just leave off the butt. No butt.
All right, so Bagel from Holin' It says, Kelly and Portia, what exactly are hot chili cheese vagina and a platinum? Okay, my nieces were sitting here. One of them was sitting here. And she went, what? And so we reread it. I literally had to explain hot chili cheese vagina to my niece. And she was dying laughing. She was like, what the hell are you watching? She said, rewind it again. I think we watched this part like 5 times and I just watched her cracking up.
What exactly are hot chili cheese vagina and platinum puss?
Portia's like, one that my spouses love. So Kelly's like, I mean, if you don't go and take that platinum puss and put it in some goddamn hot water and vinegar. Okay. Portia, aside from you, what physical proof do you have that Kelly slept with a married pastor? And she's like, I am the proof. She's like, it sounds like a joke, but I'm not. I'm the one who actually read the text messages in my friend's phone. I've got some. I think Portia is like, no, you read text messages, but do you have proof that this person was telling the truth to the friend? Like, what proof do you have? Not that you read text messages.
Yeah. Well, you were upset with Kelly of accusing you of sleeping with married men on camera, but you did the same thing. It's like, well, she did it to me first. So when information came back in my lap, I made it known to her. That's how it works.
And Kelly's like, yeah, she just wanted to have her lick back. So Portia goes,
yeah, well, she did a recent interview and I'm just basically a whole other smear campaign. So you know what? If you're going to keep running your mouth talking about this and call me a liar over and over again, I'm not lying. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring in a person who can do a lie detector test.
And she's like, great. Geez.
And I did it already.
Like, oh.
Kelly goes, I'm so tired of this bimbo. It's like, well, actually, I called him today and got the results. And did we see Maury already? Maury Povich comes on. And he's like, oh, it's me, Maury Povich, the results of the lie detector test. So Andy's like, spoiler alert, you passed the lie detector test. Well, Drew was there as a witness. Oh, Drew. The paragon of virtue over there, Drew.
We cut to this like Mitch McConnell type guy, and he's like, so the question was, did you ever read a text message about a guy who said he had slept with Kelly? And the answer was yes. And you were truthful.
Ah, exoneration.
So now we go back to the present, and Andy's like, would this be admissible in court, Phaedra? And she's like, well, lie detector tests aren't always admissible because they can be tricked. So, and Portia's like,
but in the court of Housewives of Atlanta?
this is rock solid proof.
So they all crack up and Portia's like, you know, but on the show you act like we're cool because if you want to still have a beef, we can still have a beef. You know, do you want to keep going? And Kelly's like, well, I have a foot on my neck. And Portia's like, well, I'm going to have mine on your little bitty back. And she's like, okay, well then have it on my back, but I'll have it on your neck all season. She's like, well, I'll have it on your back. And she's like, okay, let's do it. I have no problems.
Yeah. So, and it's like, so your reaction to her passing the lie detector test, she goes, it's a joke. Who cares? And like, at this point, I don't know anything about a lie detector test. It's like, okay, well, it's become clear that the person in question is actually someone that Phaedra, you know, maybe it's a client of yours, Phaedra, this person who did. And Phaedra's like, Kelly's like, oh, well, how convenient that for the person to be Phaedra's friend, it's Phaedra's client. Like, of course, Phaedra knows. How convenient.
Well, that is true. Of course, it's Phaedra with some mysterious information, you know, some very specific information from a mysterious person. And so Andy's like, well, okay. Well, Pinky asks, isn't that attorney-client privilege? And Shamia is like, privilege is right. And it's like, well, let's see. The shoe from Lace wants to know, Phaedra, why do you feel the need to protect a cheating man's infidelities? Does that really truly protect a family or your lies?
So, well, this is a client, and I'm a member of the bar. And me and my client have absolutely no issues. So why am I going to bring that up on camera when I am a bar member? Thank you very much.
By the way, that question was from Kelly herself. And so that was because they all get to ask a question this reunion. That was Kelly's big question, which is like, why is Phaedra protecting this man? And Phaedra's like, attorney client. So Kelly's like, but Phaedra, I'm your client too. Let me tell you something, Phaedra. You never actually sat down and asked me anything about this alleged person or who it is. And I'm bothered by it. You know, it's like, Kelly, if this is her client, she's not going to be trying to drag her client into this season more than they already are. She's not going to have a talk with you. She's just not going to talk about this if she doesn't have to.
Yeah. And she's like, well, I've been to your house many times when we've talked and you never said, hey, is there something I need to know? You just insinuated and took on Frax information.
Mm-hmm. And Kelly is like, you know, as your friend, I would have looked at you. I would have looked at you as a big sister and say, well, Kelly, I just want to know, like, is it true? Could this be true? You never asked me and I have a problem with that. And she goes, well, because I spoke with my client. And Kelly's like, it doesn't matter if you spoke to anybody. She goes, but this is the thing. I didn't bring it up. I know exactly who the person is. And Kelly's like, but look, you didn't bring it up, but like you co-signed, didn't stand up until you co-signed. You co-signed from the same person that got you fired on this show the last time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And Portia goes, good job, fan. You remember episodes, fan. She's like, girl, shut up. And Andy, unless we have names, I don't think it's fair to discuss.
Yeah. So then Portia's Kelly's like,
well, I'm not going to name him or the guy in the kitchen who she also knows well. And Kelly's like, are we talking about bleep? And we don't get the name, but she says the name. And Portia's like, oh, so now you want to name people? And she's like, oh, so are we talking about, you know.
Person in the kitchen?
Yes.
Tom Colicchio. So Portia's like, go ahead, name that married man. Name that married man. And Kelly's like, well, let's talk about the real reason you don't like me. Is it about bleep? And Portia's like, of course not. Name him, because you're not going to get anywhere with this. She's like, just keep saying it. And they're like, and Andy's like, well, who is bleep? And then Kelly's like, well, it's who Claudia Jordan brought up on the podcast, where Claudia said, well, Kelly can really pipe it up with Portia because they actually dated like one of the same men. So it's another overlap. Gosh.
And Portia's like, yeah, but I said the same thing. It's not a secret. And she's like, well, you did it only after Claudia said it. So now they're going back and forth about a podcast that
we have. Is it the one she does with Erica? I wonder if it was the one that she does with Erica Cobb.
She does it with Erica. Yeah, that's right.
And so then Shamia is like, why can't we name this married man? And so Portia goes,
you should stay out of it before we talk about who you were with BAT weekend as well.
And Shamia's like, first of all, I'm not talking about that. No, I'm not talking about that. And so now there's more accusations. And Portia's like, stay out of it when I'm talking to Kelly, Shamia. And Shamia's like, girl, I'm talking to her. I'm not fucking talking to you. So now they're fighting about all this.
Oh my gosh. So Andy says, where do you two go from here? And Portia says, to hell.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, it's not going to be resolved. But guess what? Maybe next episode, there'll be more accusations of people sleeping with people that we don't know. We'll see.
And bleeped names of people that we'll never hear about.
Fingers crossed.
Geez, it's a brain scrambler sometimes, this read.
It was such a funny episode, but it was so hard to go back on. Like, to be like, what are you saying? Anyway, thanks everyone for being here. We appreciate you. We love you. And we'll catch you on the next episode of Watch What Crappens.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS, we love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our Palliger, it's Karen Gallagher.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP. It's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.